reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our first scripture reading for this fourth Sunday in Lent is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's on page 733, and we read Isaiah 12, beginning at verse 1. You might recognize these words since they're part of the service of prayer and preaching, one of the canticles that we sing in that service. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, found on page 1236 in your pew Bibles. And we read verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, page 1118 in your pew Bibles, and we read verses 1 through 3 and 11 through 32. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. No one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back, safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. And when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' This is the word of the Lord."
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel reading, which you just heard a few minutes ago. I'm wondering how many of you had ever listened to Garrison Keillor on public radio with his news from Lake Wobegon, Minnesota? Quite a few of you. He was, I think he's retired now, but he was just a remarkable storyteller. And most of his stories, of course, were intended to entertain, but sometimes he used them to teach something about small-town life. The greatest and master storyteller of all times was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He used stories as a way of teaching, and therefore we call them parables. All four of the Gospels include many of the parables. And the parable that you heard today is perhaps one of the best known of all the parables, and it's my favorite. Many years ago, a German pastor wrote a series of sermons on this parable. They were translated into English and printed in a book entitled The Waiting Father, which is perhaps a better title for this parable, because it really is more about the Father than it is about the sons. It's easy to translate the story into 21st century terms. I well imagine that over the centuries, the story has been repeated in real life over and over and over. It's a family with two children, both of them are sons. The father has high expectations for them. He expects them to obey him, to learn and share his values, and to respect and love him. And he loves them. He showers his love upon them, and they lack for nothing. What child could ever want more? It's a wonderful family. The younger son decides to go off to college. University of Florida in Gainesville seems like a good choice. It's a long ways from the Iowa farm. And that younger son is rebellious. He feels that the father's love was smothering him, and he needs to be his own man. Way at college, he succumbs to all the temptations of college life. Booze, all-night parties, young women with loose morals, and, well, you know what's happened. His grades are 100% less than acceptable. He's flunking out, and he's down and out. The ungrateful wretch has not only wasted his father's money, but he's also wasted his father's love. The older son, meanwhile, stays at home. He works the family farm. He obeys the father. And life is very good to him. He's the model son, right? At least he is from all outward appearances. But there's something else under the surface. He feels that everything he has, he deserves. It belongs to him because he works so hard, because he's been so faithful to the Father. And he resents and hates his younger brother, who's been able to squander his father's money on booze and prostitutes. And what is most galling of all is that Dad seems to still love that worthless fool as much or more than he loves him. The fact of the matter is, the older son is a spoiled brat. So now the question, do you see yourself in either one of these two sons? or perhaps a little in both of them. I hope so, because if you don't, the rest of the parable's wasted on you. As far as I know, no one here this morning is living on the streets. The parking lot, the times I've driven through it, is full of pretty late model vehicles, cars and pickups. Lord has been the Father, our Father, has been very, very good to you. I suspect that your experiences in life are somewhat similar to mine. I grew up on a farm. I worked hard as a kid. I never suffered from lack of food. I always had plenty of clothing and shoes and shelter, heat in the winter, and now for the last 30 years or more, air conditioning in the summer. I've had a car since I was 16 years old. We have very, very close friends in Eastern Europe, Lithuania, Poland, and the Czech Republic, who lived under Soviet rule for many years. And when I hear their life story, I realize that so many of the things that I consider necessities in life are in fact luxuries. It is so easy to receive blessing after blessing from our Father and never bother to thank Him. It is so easy to receive so much from our Father and somehow feel that we deserve it. It is so easy to turn a blind eye to those who are in need, especially those in need of a Savior. It is so easy to look down on those who have wasted the Father's love. Finally, the younger son realizes what he's done, and he realizes he deserves to be disowned and disinherited. Decides to go home and plead for his father's mercy, and hopefully dad will take him on as a hired man on the farm. And to his surprise, the father welcomes him with open arms. The really, really sad part of this story is the older son. Jesus ends the parable with the father still waiting for him. So again, the question, which son are you? Are you the repentant son? Or are you the self-righteous son who really sees no need for repentance? It is so easy to mouth those words of the general confession and never really even think about confessing our sins. Whichever son you are, all of your sins have been paid for. Our Father sent His only Son to live the perfect life for you. He sent His only Son to carry every last one of your sins to the cross and to suffer hell for you. If you are the repentant son, your sins are forgiven. If you are the son who sees no need for repentance, the Father is still waiting for you to forgive you. Looking back at, I've written quite a few sermons on this parable over the years, and looking back, I was reminded that several years ago, our daughter Christy gave me a tape of country western music. And there was a ballad on it. I think it was sung by George Strait. And the singer tells about, well, first of all, this song, this ballad, might well have been written with this parable in mind. That's why I'm mentioning it. The singer tells of coming home from school when he was a boy with a black eye after being in a fight at school. And he was shaking in his boots because fighting, no matter what the reason, was not allowed. And he expected to be severely disciplined by his father. But his father, seeing the son's fear, instead of punishing him, said these words, "Let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret my daddy said was just between us. He said, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen." He goes on to tell them that when he grew up, he eventually had a son of his own. And he said there was no doubt that his son was just like his father's son. And when his patience had come almost to the breaking point, he repeated the words to his own son. And the last verse, the third verse of the song, goes like this. "Last night I dreamed I died and stood before those pearly gates, when suddenly I realized there must be some mistake. If they know half the things I've done, they'll never let me in. And then, somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. Let me tell you a secret about a father's love, a secret my daddy said was just between us. Daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. It's a love without end. Amen." This parable is about the Father's love. Our Father. The Father who sent his only begotten Son. And as we sung just a few minutes ago in the hymn, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Father's love in Christ is a love without end. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.